not only inhumane, it is really fundamentally un-American.
Broadcasting from the Gulag filling station of planet Earth, this is Cultural Baggage, the unvarnished truth about the drug war. My name is Dean Becker. Steve Nolan is our engineer, and tonight we'll have three anonymous guests, medical marijuana smokers living in the state of Texas.
I am 63, and I've lived here all my life, that if I would have known about the marijuana use for us patients that have a chronic pain, if I would have known about it before a doctor put me on prednisone, I would have never taken the pill form of prednisone. I would have chose the marijuana to help me in my pain. My eyes, my bones, I have more problems from the pill of the prednisone than I do the rest of my illness, which I have COPD. I can tell you a lot about prednisone, that's for sure. My teeth, they've messed up my teeth. There's not one thing on my body that they have not damaged. And the more I take them, the less my immune system can fight off anything.
The following is a statement from Andrea Barthwell from the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Organizations seeking to construe marijuana as medicine appeal to the compassion of America. They cite testimonials that only marijuana can provide relief to patients suffering from AIDS, cancer, and other painful diseases. In reality, smoked marijuana is not a Federal Drug Administration approved medicine. As a crude plant, marijuana is so complex, unstable, and harmful that sensible physicians and researchers consider it unethical to expose individuals to the risks associated with smoking it. Have you had any terrible side effects?
No, sir, I have not.
And how have you used it? Do you smoke it in joints, in a vaporizer, in brownies?
I use it in the form of a cookie. I have emphysema, so I cannot smoke it. I have tried the pipe, and that did not work for me. But I have used it in the cookie form, and it has done very well for me.
What we are witnessing within the government is actually their battle of the bulge. This is their last-ditch, full-out effort to maintain this drug war. And they do all this despite the fact that they are now the best allies of the best drug growers in the world, the Afghani warlords. Yet, they have spent all their money trying to battle marijuana in the United States. Each year, the Office of National Drug Control Policy, the same outfit that Andrea Barthwell is a member of, spends about $145 million building ads and putting them on TV that try to tell us that marijuana is gonna kill us. Make no mistake about it, it is the mechanisms of this drug war that make it possible for terrorists to raise millions of dollars each year selling drugs to our children. These throwbacks to the Eisenhower era that are now ensconced in our Congress have no idea what they are up to. This from the New York Times. Quote, Mr. Aristide's supporters say the armed opposition seeks power for power's sake to seize Haiti's ports and their cargoes of Colombian cocaine bound for the United States in Houston and other cities, now including San Antonio, that listen to the Drug Truth Network. We are trying to do Project Houstonam or Project Our City Gives a Damn, or somebody really ought to give a damn. And the point being, my friends, that we need to reach out to our elected officials. We need to give them a nice little tap on the chin and get their attention and get them focused on this, that no longer will ignorance and superstition be tolerated. We have zero tolerance for ignorance. Next up, I have the interview with patient D. And I was wondering if you would also tell us your approximate age and how long you've lived in Texas.
I'm 44, and I've lived in Texas pretty much most of my life, off and on.
I'm wondering, have you been able to get a doctor to recommend or
prescribe marijuana or THC for you?
No.
Have you talked with your doctor about that?
No, I haven't, not yet. I'm just been to a few normal meetings, so I'm just getting educated now about my options and things like that. So I haven't gotten that far. Trying to get well right now. I've been too ill to really get involved that much. Just been at the point where just trying to get medicated. It's been a major ordeal. So I'm still pretty ill and haven't gotten that far yet. But
all right, patient D. Besides marijuana, what other medicines have you used, and how have these medicines affected your health?
Oh, for years I've been off and on. Darvocet, anywhere from Darvocet. The last doctor put me on methadone, and this was just in the last 2 months, and it nearly killed me. I've never been a drug user, so I went through 3 days of DTs, total palsy, convulsions. Ended up in the hospital from the reaction to it, and so it's. The system's almost killed me, in fact. You know, it's been really rough.
Would you tell us the reason for which you use medical marijuana?
Yes, I have arthritis, and I have fibromyalgia, which is affects the muscles, and it's crippling. It's just nearly crippled me, so I'm in pain pretty much 24/7.
And how long have you been using medical marijuana?
Since last April. was pretty much raised to and with the thought that it's, you know, a sinful thing, so I had to get really past a lot of those issues before I would even consider doing it. And the pain, you know, has pretty much driven me to where I am now, so, and I'm finally getting relief.
When you use medical marijuana, do you smoke it in joints? Do you use a vaporizer? Do you put it in foods? What do you do?
Well, I've just gotten, like I said, just recently come into some new information on, you know, I didn't really know my options there, so I got a little educated at the first meeting. Some people came up to me and gave me their ideas, making teas, and had some friends help with the making them in chocolate chip cookies. So my husband is now, he's a really good cook, so he's learning how to, trying to come up with some recipes for me so I don't have to smoke it. I really don't care to smoke it.
If you could talk to your elected officials, what would you tell them about medical marijuana, and how should we treat this medicine?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I could get through standing before them without crying. You know, I don't know what it's going to take for, you know, to get people to understand this. You know, Dean, I just really, I'm just the kind of person, I would just have to see how I felt when I got up there and just talk from my heart, you know, just pour out my experiences, my horrible experiences with synthetic drugs versus, you know, what relief I've gotten with this herb that comes from the ground, you know. That's pretty much what I'd say, you know, I'd get into those issues.
Well, it's my hope that you will be able to join us at some point this spring or summer when you're feeling better and take part in Project Houstredam.
Yeah, I intend to. You know, now that I've got, this is like all new to me, so I'm finally getting relief. And one thing with my illness is that the best thing to combat my illness is exercise, and that's one thing I haven't been able to do. I've been in too much pain, and so now that I'm getting pain relief, I'm starting to think now about getting back on my treadmill. And so I'm really hoping to get well this spring, and it's going to start with the medical marijuana. It's really helping me a whole lot. So I hope when I get strong, I'm probably going to be a mighty voice for the cause.
Well, you're already reaching out to the listeners out there, and we thank you for participating in today's Cultural Baggage.
Oh, Dean, we love you. You've been great and just a great support to me already. So I really look forward to hanging out with y'all and hope we can make a difference.
Project
Medical marijuana patients in the Ninth Circuit Court District can now legally smoke marijuana under both state and federal law. We'd like to know what you're doing in your locale, how you are changing the minds of your locally elected officials about marijuana. Please alert us to your progress. Send an email to dean@unvarnishedtruth.org. Here's what we're doing in our local area. This week, our own Steve Nolan was due to appear before the Houston City Council and Mayor to talk about Project Houstedam. We're hoping that you'll join us next week when we go before them. Every week, we are going to go before them, and we're going to change the medical marijuana laws here in the city of Houston, much like what they've done in Seattle, where it's at the bottom of the law enforcement totem pole. It's probably down there below fireworks and jaywalking at this point. Now, as I said earlier, in San Antonio, they're doing a, Project Sansterdam, or I don't know what they're going to name it, but they're taking this issue before their local government on a continuing basis, because that is the only way that we're going to make this change. You know, other than for this high-grade marijuana, the world is awash in drugs. Drugs are cheaper, purer, more available than ever before. And if you caught the news last week, I know we're in some deep shift when the cops are the local drug cartel. That seems to be the case. Last week, a Houston policeman was caught in uniform in his patrol car on duty delivering 100 pounds of marijuana and a kilo of cocaine to some undercover officers. Now, if that sounds a little too much like what goes on the Mexican border, well, I think you're right, because the fact is, when we have the cops and the cartels in cahoots, we've got a major problem, don't we, my friends, right here in River City. And the problem is even bigger than that, because each week I watch the news and there are cops all across America that are corrupt, that are greedy, that are dirty, that are dabbling in this drug war. My friends, it's time to pull the plug on this abomination. Now, before we take our little break, I want to read just a little bit more news for you. This particular story comes, again, from the New York Times. Home meth labs put children at risk. Kids exposed to toxic fumes face health threat as more Americans cook drugs. Cooking methamphetamine is an extremely toxic process. There are two common methods used in the mom and pop laboratories, and they both produce dangerous gases and leave hazardous waste. One method combines red phosphorus, usually taken from the strips on matchboxes, pseudoephedrine from cold tablets, and iodine. The other method, more common in farming country, involves anhydrous ammonia, a liquid fertilizer cooked with pseudoephedrine, and lithium taken from car batteries. One out of every five labs is discovered because of an explosion. Now, I'm here to tell you that speed is a very dangerous drug and you shouldn't do it. Please, don't. Don't even attempt it. But this biker meth, if you want to call it that, sometimes it's orange, it's yellow, it's made with terrible ingredients, it's made by inept chemists, if you want to call them that, and it's even more dangerous than that made by the pharmaceutical houses. But the drug war was never built on common sense, I think we all know that. I've tried the products, the preludins, the desoxins, and even the liquid methamphetamine hydrochloride in them little 1cc jugs, you know, break the top off of it, suck it out, shoot it up. And it's 1,000 times better than biker speed. But of course, the drug warriors don't want common sense to enter this equation. There's too much money to be made. And let's talk about hard drugs for a second. You know where cocaine comes from? Well, it comes from these little coca bushes growing on the mountainside down in Colombia, Bolivia, and Peru. But what they do is they take these leaves, they put them into like a little plastic pool puddle they make, and they pour gasoline in there, and then they stomp on it with their feet, and they stir it around, make a good slurry, and then they use acetone, and they kind of break the chemicals down, bag it up, turn it into what they call coca paste. And that's just the first step. I guess it's a bit like making sausage, but, hearing that doesn't really make me want to stick it up my nose, I'll tell you. Okay, we'll be back in a couple of minutes here, talk to another medical marijuana patient, but first we're going to take this little break, and I think you're going to enjoy this.
This is David Rovix, and you're listening to Cultural Baggage, the unvarnished truth about the drug war.
Hitched a ride out to Portland. Caught one up to B.C. Took a bus over to Hastings Street to have a bowl with my coffee. Now I'm up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimilia at the beginning of the day. Now I'm up in Vancouver at the Cannabis Cafe, smoking good old Sensimilia at the beginning of the day.
This is Mark Greer, Executive Director of Drug Sense. You're listening to Cultural Baggage. To end the drug war, visit MAPINC.org. That's MAPINC.org. Get active, stay aware, stay informed, and let's bring an end to this nonsense.
The White House drug czar's policies ensure that marijuana dealers stay in business.
Thank you, Mr. Drug Czar.
The White House drug czar's policies ensure that teenagers have easy access to marijuana.
Thank you, Mr. Drug Czar.
There is a better way. Bring marijuana in off the streets, tax it, regulate it. Contact Houston Normal, HoustonNORML.org.
What if God smoked cannabis?
Okay, earlier in the show we heard from Andrea Barthwell of the Office of National Drug Control Policy, and who basically tried to tell us that marijuana is the highway to hell. Well, in response to her postulations, the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune responded, quote, "The medicinal marijuana debate has moved out of the shadows and into the mainstream of American politics in recent years. Since California voters in 1996 removed criminal penalties for qualifying patients who use marijuana with a doctor's recommendation, seven other states have passed similar laws. Some 30 states have laws on their books that recognize in some way the medicinal value of marijuana. Disputing the Office of Drug Control Policy, the nation's drug czar, which has opposed such recognition. The result, as the issue makes its way through the laboratory of the states, has been an oddly unsettled legal balancing act. States are not legally required to enforce federal laws, and federal agents have been too preoccupied with serious drug offenders to concern themselves much with medicinal marijuana patients." The Chicago Tribune goes on to say that proponents cite scientific evidence that marijuana can offer relief from pain, nausea, and other symptoms associated with HIV, glaucoma, chemotherapy, and some other serious maladies. Opponents argue that other drugs work better than marijuana at treating such symptoms without the accompanying euphoric high. That may be true, according to a March 1999 study by the National Academy of Sciences Institute of Medicine. But the study went on to conclude that although some medications are more effective than marijuana, they are not equally effective in all patients. Different people respond differently to the same treatments, which is why treatment decisions are better made in doctors' offices than in police stations. Okay, let's go on to our next interview with a medical marijuana patient. This is patient C.
If you would, please state your approximate age and how long you've lived in Texas.
I'm 55 years old. I've lived here in Houston since 1989.
Now, have you been able to get a doctor's recommendation or a prescription for marijuana or THC?
My personal physician said that if it were legal for him to give me a prescription for marijuana, I'd have it tomorrow. He has seen his first-handed. He's been my doctor since 89, and I was on 11 medications, including Demerol, when I moved down here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, is what other medicines have you had to use along the way, and how have they affected you and your health?
Took Demerol, I've taken Vicodins, Lorazepam. I've become allergic to all of this stuff. swells my throat, my tongue gets big, and I can't sleep. They're just nasty drugs on my body.
And can you tell us some of the reasons for which you take medical marijuana?
Sure, that makes life tolerable. Let me start off by telling you, approximately 20 years ago, I was crushed. I broke my body, and I had 31 broken bones all at one time. And I spent a year and a month in the hospital, and when I got out of the hospital, they had me on chronic pain medication. Now I take nothing for pain medication. Absolutely zero.
How does it benefit you? I mean, you know, insofar as, in what way? Describe the ways that it benefits you.
Makes life tolerable. It doesn't get rid of your pain. It makes your pain tolerable. It doesn't make you sleep. It helps you sleep. It doesn't make you eat. It can help you eat. It helps you to stimulate your appetite. It does just... It's not an overpowering drug. It does what you want it to do without being overpowering. You can regulate just how much you take by how much you smoke. How much you smoke is by knowing the grade of the material you're using. I do use a bong when I'm here with a friend, but the main way is with a vaporizer, and I'm just starting to getting into cooking with it.
Okay, now, if you were given the chance to talk to the head of the Texas Medical Association or your local politicians, what could you tell them? What could they learn from you and your experience?
I was on 11 drugs. A lot of them were hard, hard drugs. Demerol with Vistril, 75 milligrams. That was a regular prescription for me. They took me off that, put me on Vicodins, Lorazepam, all nasty drugs that constipate you, that you become allergic to and you become sensitive to. They're just foreign to your body. This stuff is herbal. It's natural. It doesn't hurt your body. It takes away your spasm. It takes away your pain. And none of them are totally gone, but yet they're all tolerable. And without being so drugged out that you can't talk.
You are aware of the upcoming project, Euster Dam, and I'm hoping that you can be a part of it and help us educate the local officials about the need for medical marijuana.
Well, there is a new group in town called Texans for Medical Marijuana. I am a strong advocate for medical marijuana, and yes, I will be there along with a heck of a lot of other people. We will be there. Plus, there's a few other things going on in Houston that the Houston public will find out about shortly. There's a lot of great things happening, and I'm just glad I'm a part of it and here in Houston with you and the rest of the people. And I thank you, Dean, for all the good words that you do on the air for everyone.
I do believe that if Andrea Barthwell or, you know, John Walters or any of these drug warrior types were to sit down with a wheelchair patient or an MS patient and talk to them both before and after they use medical marijuana, that they would just have to get down off that high horse and they would have to help these patients to live a better life. And that's what I do when I work for medical marijuana. And I'm hoping you'll join us. This year, we're going to change things right here in the Gulag City of planet Earth, right here in Houston, Texas, and in other cities out there on the Drug Truth Network. I want y'all to get involved. San Antonio's on board now. We can do more. We can work together, and we can make greater progress through that combination of forces. As always, you can contact me, Dean, at unvarnishedtruth.org. Earlier today, we had a two-hour program, Racial Bias in Today's America, and our guests were six members of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. This was another in our series of special programs in advance of the Breaking the Chains Conference, which is coming to Houston on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at Texas Southern University. I do urge you to listen to these programs, and you can do so by visiting our website. That's at www.cultural-baggage.com. That's cultural-baggage.com. Click on the links, listen to the shows. This drug war is over the moment you decide that it's over. All that's necessary is to take the battlefield, because the drug warriors have no ammunition. They will not be resupplied with more information. They have lost the war. As we close out today's show, here's one more little interview we did with Noel Davis of TexansForMedicalMarijuana.org.
You can find us on the website, and our mission is to guarantee that seriously ill patients have safe and legal access to medical marijuana under their doctor's supervision. And our organization was recently formed to help coordinate strategies that will enable all interested Texans to participate in the realization of this mission. And our goal is to identify, inspire, and educate Texans to influence their legislators to vote for medical marijuana legislation during 2004 and 2005. The 2005 vote will be in, 2004 will be in Congress, and 2005 when the Texas legislature meets again. And our organization is a coalition of patients, medical professionals, academics, and patient advocates who support the use of medical marijuana for seriously ill Texans. And we invite the public to visit our website again, TexansForMedicalMarijuana.org, to learn more about our campaign. And our site was designed to make it easy for people to educate themselves about the issue and then to go ahead and get involved. And the site includes educational links to our medical marijuana video, profiles of Texas patients, a list of supporting organizations, top medical marijuana stories. These are, you know, just a few of the educational highlights. And then for people who are motivated to get involved, we have links to sign our online petition, and we've already had, just in the day that we've had this campaign on the media, we've had over 100 people sign on to the petition. And people are signing up for email updates. There is an opportunity to write letters, a link where people can write letters to their elected officials. There's an excellent way for people to get involved by submitting a medical marijuana resolution at either the Democratic or Republican Party precinct convention. That's going to be, both parties will have their precinct convention on March 9th. And you can submit a resolution, which we have online. You can download it from our website.
So if you've been paying attention, the people have it within their power, within their grasp, within their ability to do something about this crazy damn drug war. And where do we begin? With medical marijuana. And whether it's through TexansForMedicalMarijuana.org or through Project Houston or Project Sansterdam or Project Nashville Dam, it's a way to make a difference. Once again, I invite you to visit the cultural-baggage.com website and tune in to those two-hour specials on racial bias. Next week, Jeff Blackburn, the Tulia defense attorney, Reverend Edwin Sanders, and Michael Blaine of the Drug Policy Alliance. Once again, I remind you that because of drug prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. Please, be careful. For the Drug Truth Network, and on behalf of my technical producer, Steve Nolan, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage, the unvarnished truth. This show is produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT, Houston.